Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
It is a Christmas film. It is like the lesbian Die Hard. It's like, it is...
Carol is a lesbian Die Hard.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you are gay? This is Eric Williams, your host, and we have a television star on the podcast, Tien Tran from How I Met Your Father, starring Hilary Duff. Ugh, it is so good to have you back here, the second week of Pride Month, and this episode is like full-on Pride-filled. I really mean that. I just, the chosen family of it all, talking to Tien Tran, there was an immediate, just familial connection, and y'all, I'm a fam too, truly. Speaking of family, I have some like devastating news, which is that I'm the lesser liked parent with Freddie, our new dog. Can anybody tell me how you deal with this? Like, it can't be just me where you know that your animal or your child prefers one parent over the other. I'm struggling. It's become very, we've had him for about, no, exactly 2 weeks now. And I've just realized over the past 2 days, I'm number two. And, I'm going to take him to the doctor. I think something's wrong because I don't see a world where I am the lesser liked parent. It doesn't seem okay. Like, what did I do? He's anti-Semitic. That's it. That's it. You know what? #cancel Freddy. This weekend, we went out for Pride in LA. It was West Hollywood's gay pride. And God, it was fucking insane. I talk about it with Tien on this week's episode, but I don't know why it's all so expensive. What are you all doing for Pride? I love to celebrate queerness. I love being gay as hell. Why do I have to refinance my future home to be able to go out? I just don't understand it, Bipes. I also don't understand why it's taking so long to get this merch to my home. I'm trying to get one sample shirt so that I can do quality control because I want to put something on the internet for sale that is actually really delicious. And so I appreciate your patience. I will post the second I get the shirt. And then once they are up live, I will reveal the 5 final designs for the icons who made it onto the gay ass shirts. And then you can just order to your heart's content. But let's get into this week's episode with Tien Tran. Yes, she is a television star, stand-up comedian, so hilarious and kind and genuine. And this episode was a full-on joy to record. You can follow her at Hank Tina, amazing story why that is her handle. And of course, follow the podcast at Gay Ass Podcast. And if you are thinking to yourself, hey, Eric every week asks about 5-star reviews and I haven't left one, now's your chance, babe. Make a cute love note for your podcast app of choice as to why you like Gay Ass Podcast. Let other people get in on the action. Enjoy this episode. I love you so much. And let's have another Gay Ass Week. I am so unbelievably happy you're doing this podcast. Thank you so much for being here. You are truly the most gorgeous, hilarious, perfect, amazing person. And I don't know if it's just because it's Pride, but I'm feeling like so effing grateful you're here.
Wait, that's too kind. Thank you so much for the warm welcome. I'm very excited to be here. You're a damn gem. And I think it's just, we're doing it. Happy Pride.
Happy Pride. You know what? That's actually, because this is Pride, I feel like we have to start off and just ask you, what did you do this weekend? It was the first weekend of Pride. Give me a good answer. If it wasn't something exciting, lie about it. In 3, 2, 1.
Okay, I groomed a couple of straights into being gay, and now we're just like an amazing queer family.
Wow, are you hooking up as a family? Like it's polyamorous, or are they your children?
Great question. I would like to say that we're all adults, so I feel like it's a loving family sex circle. You know,
sure, so sure, it's sure. Family classic, bed.
Family bed. Classic weekend in June.
I think that's a really good answer because honestly, I didn't do too many exciting things for my first Pride weekend, but I did just move to LA and it was my first LA Pride. So I did a couple of things.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What did you do?
I honestly am having pride whiplash of like the emotions attached to it. What I mean is I feel like I'm amazed and thrilled that like pride, of course, is like a huge thing. We're like celebrating the queerness. My whiplash is the corporations taking so much of my hard-earned cash.
Yes. Where are you spending your money right now?
We went to, okay, so here's what happened is we went to, so it was West Hollywood Pride. And so we went to like a couple of the bars, and our friends had purchased VIP tickets for the weekend to like go to like the concert stuff. And I was like, I'm not going to do that because I don't need to see. And like, no disrespect to the people they had on, even though I am kind of disrespecting them by saying like, I don't need to see them for that much money. So I didn't buy the tickets. And then we get there. And of course, they were like, well, why don't you just do a day pass? It's like $30. It was $75 each. So
no.
Then we did it.
And then, I feel like everyone says something is $30 and it ends up being like $120. You're like,
isn't that the truth?
It's always that way.
Yeah, no, just do it. It's like
just $25. Do it. It's $20, $30.
I don't regret it though, because like we got to dance and there was a really great DJ at one spot. And like I took it as a way of me like rebelling against the straights by me spending my own money. I tried to make it work in my
Come
own
get
head.
Get them.
That'll show them. I'll be broke and they'll have nothing to say. But it ended up being a very fun night. Jessie J performed, which is worth it. That makes
yes.
it worth it. But I, again, like wish we didn't have to spend money to celebrate ourselves.
I know. I mean, the truth is for this weekend, I actually am at my in-laws. And so,
where are your in-laws?
My in-laws live in Southern Illinois. So just hanging out at my partner's parents' house. And we did watch Fire Island with her mom. So I feel
Shut
like that
up.
Is that's pretty good, I think. And we
I
loved
think that's
it. Everyone loved
huge.
It.
Huge. Everyone loved it. What
Everyone
did they think
loved
about
it.
What did they think about the drugs and the sex of it all?
Well, before she came down to watch it with us, her dad went to sleep because he had to go to work early. Great excuse.
Yeah, okay.
I was like, you know, it's gonna be like pretty horny. Is that cool? And she's like, yeah, I'm fine with that. And in my head, I'm like, but I'm not fine with watching
right?
it with you. But she loved it. We all laughed, had a great time.
Okay, can I ask you a really controversial question?
Of course you can.
Do you think that the movie Fire Island is enjoyed as much by straight people as it is by queer people? Or do we think it's a movie meant for queers and the straights are trying to pretend they like it as much?
Whew. Okay, well, that is a controversial question. I love that it's a movie for queer people. So I think it's like so unapologetically gay. I came up with Joel in Chicago. So like friends with Joel, and I love that he made this movie that is just like so, so gay. And I do think it's straight people being like, yes.
Yes, and yes, and yes, and
yes, and yes, and yes, and
I
yes,
think
and.
It is too, but I think that you're nailing it on the head because it is for the queers. But I think because Joel is just so good and he had no choice but to make something incredible, the straights have no choice but to like it. But my controversial opinion is that I think we like it more because it was built for us to like it more.
I agree. And,
like, it's like that's a part of the magic of it.
Yeah. I mean, not to like do that thing where like, oh, I'm comparing another movie that came up, but Happiest Season was to me made for the straights.
Oh.
That was like, is that controversial?
No, it's just interesting of like, if like, here's the question, the movie Carol.
Yes.
Who is it made for?
That was made for me personally. I was the single audience for that movie.
I literally would go les for Cate Blanchett. I remember seeing her in, and I know this is not like the most incredible crafted movie, but the Benjamin Button movie where
I haven't seen Benjamin Button yet.
You need
I?
To see Benjamin okay. Button only because I don't know how it's aged and like we need to figure this out together.
Okay.
But when it came out, it was a sort of like a cool conceit, like, oh my God, Brad Pitt is hot, but he's like
a baby.
He's a baby. We can see Brad as a baby and old. Fuck, I'm in. But like, but then on top of it, it's like, also this, that to me feels like sort of magic. And I'm like, I'm a magic girl. I grew up reading Roald Dahl. Is this connected?
Oh my God,
not?
I love Roald Dahl.
Thank you.
Yes.
But I thought like, yes, the Brad Pitt aging got me into it, but the Cate Blanchett, she is so, there's a scene where she's like a ballet dancer and they did some sort of crazy CGI where, and like, I'm sure, again, I watch it now and it would probably look so horrible because like the animation, like literally 2 seconds ago was not as good as it is now. However, she's like doing like fouettes and like dancing on a stage. And like, I remember there's a shot of her, the camera like, kind of like closes up as she like peers out into the audience and she's like giving a dancer her hand. I see her bone structure. She is so powerfully beautiful and a great actor. Yes. And just magnetic. And it was my, like, embarrassingly enough, my opening moment to loving Cate Blanchett. So when I saw Carol, I was like, she can do nothing wrong.
I know. All my arguments for like, only queer actors can play queer characters falls apart when Cate Blanchett's involved.
Except the one time that.
That is the last move. We own that movie. Like,
I can't imagine lesbians not like making a fucking statue out of the movie.
No, Girl. It's like, it is a Christmas film. It is like the lesbian Die Hard. It's like, it is.
Carol is a lesbian Die Hard.
It is, though. It is such a. Ugh. See, that movie. I mean, I don't, is it, it's made, I think it's made for everyone. Carol,
I do too. It's Oscar winning, right? It's like, yeah. I think it's like when it gets to that level, it's like, and I'm not going to say Fire Island's not going to win an Oscar, but yeah. I think it maybe should show that it's meant for the queers, but it's so good. Everyone can agree that it's good.
It also felt, you know, you had a fun Pride this weekend, but like I've been in the Midwest for a while now. And so I've been, my partner is a professor, and so she was like, I've been in Champaign, Illinois with her for the past year.
Wait,
and
is it Southern Illinois? What's the university called?
University of Illinois.
University of Illinois. I'm literally choosing the most like difficult way of saying it. I'm from St. Louis, so I have a lot of people that go to school in Illinois, so I feel like there's such a Midwestern gay connection here.
I just went to the Missouri Botanical Gardens this past
weekend. Shut the F up. My Aunt Anna had her birthday party there.
I think I probably saw her.
Yeah, she's like short Jewish.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh my God.
I actually was like, Eric said happy birthday.
Thank you. Oh, Diana, Antoine, I miss you. Oh my, wait, that's a great botanical garden.
It's a great, because they live like 30 minutes outside of St. Louis.
Shut up. Yes. That is so funny.
Just, that was my pride. I spent it at the Missouri Botanical Gardens and then went and watched Fire Island.
One might argue that a botanical garden is the gayest place you can go. Butterflies,
flowers, colors, everyone's showing up and showing out. Like, come on, it's the gayest.
There are straight men talking about how nature is beautiful. You're gay. If you think nature is beautiful, you're gay.
You're gay. There's actually a really amazing gay statue at the opening of the the Missouri Botanical Gardens. There are two naked women just like dancing with each other.
Does it say that it's meant for gays, or is it just two dancing women that we're putting on that it's gay?
It's gay. I mean, does it need to be said?
You're right. I'm like, but is
you're like, did the artists want it to be seen as gay?
How wet are they? I can't, like, I'm not making this up. That makes me like get like warmth in my body, because whenever I hear like a gay connection of like positivity towards St. Louis, it heals a wound. It heals this. There's like so much of this podcast has truly been therapy because of us all talking about the traumas that we all like had similarly to each other. Ooh. But B, of like grappling with the shittiness that it was to grow up in the Midwest as gay, but then like how it's gotten better and like continuing to hopefully point in that direction. And the fact that there are naked lesbos in the opening of the Missouri Botanical Gardens. Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
Is it offensive? I've never said lesbos until this moment.
No, you can. No, it's okay. Totally. The only time it's ever offensive to me is when it's like some straight dude that I dated in college in my DMs. He's like that. That's the only time that I feel most offended.
No context could that be okay. I do want to, this is like something that is very topical with this being Pride. I'm just noticing this year. Mm-hmm. With the whiplash, the greatness, the goodness, the Fire Islandness. And then you see these news articles. Like, did you see that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or Tampa Bay, right? Whatever the fuck they are. They're the players. Some of them are not going to wear pride flags for the pride night because of their
faith-based.
Oh, my God.
But you know what? Here's another one to warm your heart. A St. Louis Cardinals pitcher dragged them.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding you. I literally just saw it. I think his name is Jake Flaherty.
Oh my God.
He just like retweeted their like explanation and just wrote absolute joke. And I was like, simple.
Okay. This is so good because you know what that is? That is a straight man using straight man argument. Like, because yes. You know, like, I feel like when straight men get angry, they are still like, they can never communicate regardless. So they're either just like throwing punches, saying a couple words, like, or like, I feel like also lately, the thing when they get excited, they say, let's go.
Let's go.
That to me feels very straight. I feel like, he said a fucking joke?
He said absolute joke, which I love.
Absolute joke. It's two words.
Two words.
We can't expect a straight man to say more than two words.
No.
But those two words pack a punch, and then he's on the right side of herstory.
He's on the right side of herstory, and they're like, I feel like sometimes straight men don't like to be hyperbolic, and I feel like he's being strong here. Like, absolute joke.
Absolute
There's no joke. Question.
And a straight man does not want to be called a joke. Because
no.
The only thing they want to be is taken seriously.
Is to be taken seriously or to be the one telling the jokes. So this is huge.
I hope he's a good pitcher because if he's like the worst in the major leagues and they're all like, sure, Robert.
They're like, you didn't even get to play.
You were benched until last week.
I think he is like, I think he's like one of the starting pitchers.
Oh, thank God.
Wow. I know.
St. Louis, you're really making me, this never happens. It's not, never like, and look at the good thing that St. Louis did for queer rights. Oh,
I know. I saw that today. And it's not like I've adopted St. Louis as like a second home, but I feel like of the cities that I've been to most recently in the pandemic, it has been St. Louis. So I'm kind of like, go Cards.
Go Cards. Go Cards. Indeed. My family has season tickets, babe.
When's the last time you've been?
Do you know what? Actually, I think I went. So my husband and I were in St. Louis, like I would say a year ago, and he went for the first time to a St. Louis Cardinals game, and it was camp. It was good. We
it's
had
fun.
Our hot dog. It was yeah. I mean, I would enjoy. The only thing I'm scared of is a foul ball. I think I have such a narcissistic personality, which I don't actually think I do, but like in the baseball setting, I'm like, it's going to hit me, the one person, 30,000 out of the 30,000 people here. It's coming for me. But like, it hasn't happened yet. But you've seen those videos of the foul ball going into the stands.
Terrible.
And like, the velocity at which it goes.
It's very, very scary. But I do like watching the videos of like, here's another straight man attribute that I like is when a dad holding a baby catches a foul ball. That's a whole genre of viral videos that I'm actually into.
I love. Listen, a straight man with a baby is an immediate. My toxic trait is like if you're pushing a stroller, you can be disgusting, and I still want to suck your dick. I was just like, there's something about fatherhood.
Wait, let's unpack that.
I know. I'm like, wait a minute. There's something about fatherhood. Yeah, no, I truly am like walking down the street and I will see a kind of handsome person. I'm like, oh, he's kind of nice. And I'll see the stroller and I'll be like, okay. That not the hottest guy you've ever seen in your fucking life? I wonder what's going on in those cargo shorts. We have to dive into the Illinois of it all and your partner is there with your. So, how long have you been with your partner? Is my first question.
It'll be 9 years this July.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How did you what's your partner's name?
Aaron.
We love Aaron. How
we
did you meet Aaron?
I used to throw a very, very, very self-indulgent birthday party when I lived in Chicago for a very long time. And I used to throw a party called Tanks for Hank, which was I would do a full spread barbecue of like ribs, wings, kebabs, burgers, for my friends, and all you would have to do for the price of entry was to bring like a $5 or less thrifted tank or like t-shirt that I could cut into like a slutty side bra tank.
Are you joking? That's not self-indulgent. You're not only giving incredible food, which I think a barbecue could be considered one of the best party foods to have.
It's my
favorite. You're also giving fashion.
Yes. So they would bring a tank and someone happened to like a mutual friend brought my partner, and she like 2 weeks later asked me out.
How did she ask you out?
Over email.
How Tom Hanks? Oh,
so Tom, so Tom Hanks. Honestly, just watched You've Got Mail last week. I feel like have you been following me because I feel like you're hitting all.
Oh, our producers have been casing all of our guests. Yeah, no. There's cameras in everyone. The main room of your in-laws house. Yeah,
okay,
we love the purple shades. They're gorgeous.
Thank you. I'll tell her to keep them.
Yeah, no, tell her. Although I don't like what she wore yesterday to church. It was not.
Okay, I will tell her to change that.
I just thought like the frills were a little on the nose for June.
Okay, for June, fine. I'll cut the frills off. She can keep the shirt.
She keep the shirt, cut the frills. Wow, Hank Tina had a... What was the party called?
It was called Tanks for Hank.
And can you please tell our listeners what this amazing story about the Hank Tina of it all?
Oh, the Hank Tina of it all is that my full name, Vietnamese name, is Hanh Tien, which is spelled Hanhtien. And one time in high school, I had a substitute teacher who just like... reading through fucking roll call, got to my name and said Hank Tina. Like, is there a Hank Tina here? Just like over and over and over. And ever since then, I've like reclaimed it as my own sort of social media persona nickname.
It's so brilliant to take a wild microaggression. And then make it like your moniker.
Yes.
Talk about taking our power and talk about like trauma from growing up.
Yes. Oh my God.
So much. I also think it's devastatingly brilliant how you talk about someone was like, Michelle Kwan, are you in this TJ Maxx?
It's just, it really, I really do find it so surprising the ways in which people can be like racist in such creative ways. Like, why would Michelle Kwan be in Erie, Pennsylvania shopping for... fucking tankies.
But I think it's again the narcissistic quality of a lot of Americans. We're like, well, I assume that obviously the TJ Maxx that I'm shopping at.
I know that the TJ Maxx off of Peach Street is where all the celebrities go for
it
their
is the
deals.
Big one. It is the big one. It is attached to a Marshalls. You know, the other day I thought I saw Anderson Cooper. Turns out it was just my dad. Okay, so there's so much to discuss with you because seeing How I Met Your Father explode and seeing you on it, I just like, first of all, there's so much to unpack about why it's so good because Hilary Duff is, I think, there's a reason why there are so many gay memes that go around of her being like, you know, when you say gay, it's that stupid is gay. It's like, I think she, whether she wanted to or not, became a representative of the queer community.
Yes.
I also think you are so good in it. I also think, very deep cut, but Chris Lowell, he is not only so hot, but he he is in one of the movies that my toxic trait that I've seen it too many times is The Help.
Oh my
Emma
God!
Stone's, he plays Emma Stone's love interest in The Help. I just like he.
You'll be happy to know that he is truly like the best. And charming, and I love him, and I love working with him. Like,
I looked up his Instagram. I see he's like an actual like, artistic photographer.
Oh my God, he's an incredible photographer.
That's annoying that you're like hot, a good actor, actual an artist. Like,
yes, and he's so thoughtful and so just like he's wonderful. I adore Chris. Like, I really feel very lucky that I'm not just saying that. Like, I truly feel so lucky that like my brother in this show is a person that I like genuinely adore and love because it would be so hard.
Yeah. I mean, also for like during this interview, like we would be able to tell that
you could tell that
he is. Oh yeah. No. Really good guy. What's your shirt? What shirt is that? I'm like, oh, it's like you changed the subject.
What are your sheets?
I love these. They're parachute. Because I am trying to have a morsel of the success that you're having, can you give us an inside the actor's studio about what it was like to like book this show? And I want to know where you were when you found out you booked it.
Oh my God. So it's actually really funny that I'm in my in-laws basement because I auditioned in this room. I did a self-tape. My first tape was in this room with my partner, who, bless her, is so good when auditioning with me because I've gotten better, but I know that I'm like kind of really annoying. And
we all are annoying. And anyone listening to this podcast who also has to audition with their partner is now seething with anger because they're like, fuck. Some couples are actually doing this okay because Matt and I have had so many tense moments through self-tape.
I've had honestly, the very first time that I got an audition self-tape was like 3 years ago. And my partner, it was a short paragraph monologue. Eric, it took us 3 hours because I could not get my shit together. Okay? So we've come a very long way.
Yeah. So Professor Aaron is doing the self-tape with you.
Is doing the self-tape with me. I got the tape in like June of last year. And we taped it in this room. Had to do it between like dogs running around and like just general family noise. And we sent it off, and I even like wrote to my managers like, oh my God, I can't, but really want to be Hillary Duff's best friend, and just sent it off. Didn't hear for months. And then I got a call back and did a Zoom table read with Hillary and the rest of like the executive producers. And
so months later, you got the call back?
Yeah. So months later, I got the call back. I'm also forgetting a very key point. I actually auditioned for a different role originally.
Wow.
And it was for Francia's character. And I think they came back and they were like, the casting was like, we loved your tape, but I think you'd be more appropriate for this character. And I read it and I was like, farm lesbian? Great. Let's go.
Check and check.
Check. I know that.
Iowa, I'm there.
Iowa, I am there. I have a plaid shirt that I'm going to put on. That's also the funny thing about like auditioning for queer roles. I feel like I put on what I think industry thinks like, that lesbians dress like. Like, I'm like, yeah, I know. I like stereotype my own tape. I'm like, huh. Where's my Birkenstocks? Where's my flannel?
Who's perpetuating which stereotype? Oh, I am.
It's me. It's me. I am doing it. And then that night, they like, after I did the call back, I got a call from my managers and they were like, they loved you. Like, let's just sit tight. They'd like to fly you out to test. And I was like losing my mind because I'm in Champaign and it's just like very weird to not be nearby. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's still very weird to me to be like working from Champaign in different ways. Mm-hmm. And then they used that Zoom table read as my like network test. And then I had to like wait another week and then they called me and I was by myself because I had been waiting all day and my partner was like, I'm just going to go for a walk. Okay. Like, if they call, just like run out and find me. And they called while I was by myself and she had just gotten home and I'm like screaming and like she's like trying to get through the screen door. It still feels very surreal. Like it just, I don't think I've quite even still after shooting a season and it's out to like, it's hard to wrap my head around like getting a job and like getting this one. I feel very, I just feel very grateful and
I can't imagine how bizarre, but also like any story like that where you hear about someone booking the role that was like, it's a game changer and something they're like dying to get. And then when it actually comes true and then thinking about like your partner coming in and seeing you freaking out, I love a good booked and blast story. There's in the Heights documentary, or there's some Broadway documentary, and there's a guy that's like his first Broadway show, he sees his face on a billboard in Times Square and he like loses his mind. I just can't help but cry. There's also all very theater related, but like Every Little Step is the documentary about the A Chorus Line revival going back to Broadway and seeing people when they book, like just seeing like people see how their dreams come true. This is so heartwarming. And I think you have been doing so many amazing things, but this was like a game changer.
Yeah, I think it has changed my life in terms of just like, it's just crazy. It feels crazy.
How long would you say that you were working towards a goal like this, like in the industry, like doing comedy? How many years do you think it's been?
You know, I only know this because my sister sent me a Facebook memory post, which is it's so funny to me that my older sister loves to send me Facebook memories.
I mean, you're saying your older sister, so that's the tracks.
Yes. She's in her 40s. She's still on Facebook. Love her to death. She's cool as hell, but she's sending me Facebook screen grab memories. But she had sent me, it was the first time that she had, that I had performed at Second City. And that was when I like properly quit my job. Mm. So I like to say that it was like, I've been doing it like full time. The only thing that I've been focusing on for the last 6 years, but I had done like sketch comedy all through college mm-hmm. and like did all the like improv indie shows. So much longer than that. But like,
well, it also goes to show you like how much of a commitment you have to take to like leave your job, do this and like really put your all into it. And then you can see the results now. And it's like, we love to see a gay hero be on the silver screen. Speaking of being a gay hero, I wanna ask you the famous podcast question, which is, okay, Tian Tran. Whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do we blame, babe?
Oh my God. I think we blame Raven, who was my summer camp coach for a soccer summer camp.
And her name was Raven.
Her name was Raven.
We need to paint a picture here. Raven was your...
Raven. No. I think it like solidified for me that like, oh my God, this is an attraction towards like an older woman. I think I was probably like 11 or 12, Erie, Pennsylvania, the UNC women's soccer team, which I don't know if you're familiar with women's college soccer, but they are like the Chicago Bulls of college women's soccer. Like they are a dynasty. They've won so many national championships. Like Mia Hamm is from there.
I was just going to say Mia Hamm.
Mia Hamm, Christine Lilly, all of these. Yep.
My best friend Diane was super into Mia Hamm. And guess who came out as gay?
Yes.
Like I literally remember like the Mia Hamm poster on the wall. So I'm here.
So
I'm
you know.
Here.
Okay, so you
I'm
know.
Here.
So Raven was a UNC women's soccer player and they had camps, soccer camps in the summer, and they came to Erie and I obviously signed up and I was obviously put into her group and I just was like, I was blown away at this like hot college soccer player. Honestly, kind of looked like Mia Hamm, like looked like a young Mia Hamm, just like fit, like soccer fit, long, dark brown hair, over tweezed eyebrows maybe, but that's okay. It was like, it was hot at the time. Doesn't matter.
It was 2004. It was 2004.
We were not going to overthink that. I didn't question it, but she was just like so funny, so hot. And I just found myself like trying to show off so much for her in our like little group play and like playing, well, group play. That's taking on a different meaning now as an adult, but like scrimmages.
I'm also laughing because there's so many funny jokes that go around about like the 11-year-olds who go to like the NSYNC concert and they think that Justin Timberlake's going to bone them. I love the idea of you, like, Raven is going to be so fucking into me. And then, like, it zooms out and you're, like, fully, like, braces.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's like those teens at those concerts. I, like, really curated my outfits. Like, I wanted to make sure that I looked, like, I'm like, if I wear this, like, girl power soccer t-shirt, she's
going
to notice me.
Raven will be jaw dropped. She's like, who is that?
Who is
camper?
That middle schooler?
I do love that there's like a reverse grooming we never talk about, which is the children trying to groom the adults.
I'm trying to groom this college student.
This is what we're gonna pitch to studio is kitty groomers.
Kitty groomers. Oh my God.
Oh my God. That will cancel so fast.
Yes.
But
very
wow.
Quickly.
I love Raven. So, I love Raven.
It was Raven.
Do we
for
know
me.
If Raven's gay?
You know, I don't know. I don't know Raven's last name, but I guess I could look at like soccer rosters throughout
soccer
all
roster
of them.
Raven 2000. Do we know this? I really am going to out myself as not being into the Mia Hamm world as much as I should be. Is Mia Hamm out?
No, she's very straight, which is a huge disappointment. You know, she's married to a famous baseball player.
Okay, that's a little on the nose.
I know.
But you know what? At least Mia is a symbol for young queer girls. And I'm sure she knows it. And I would have to imagine she likes it.
I'm sure she embraces it.
It's kind of like there's so many queer women basketball players. Like, I feel like, like I bet you there's a straight girl on the basketball team in the WNBA who's like, I'm sure, like, there are tons of girls crushing on her, and she's not going to dislike it.
No. I mean, there are so many. I'm a huge sports head, and, like, there's just so many queer soccer players out now, and, like, all their teammates are so, like, the best allies in the world. Like, it's just a really lovely, wonderful thing in this time. I was just going to add to the soccer story was that when I did come out to my parents, finally, I came out to my parents probably when I was 25, over Thanksgiving, after I had come out to them and like all the drama and the tears had already stopped and I was like getting ready for bed, my parents burst back into my room and they were like, is it because we let you play soccer? I'm like, you guys are actually pretty good detectives.
You know, funny
case closed.
I love the idea that they were like, sitting watching TV with each other. And one of them takes a sip of their water. And they go, oh my God, it was a soccer. Like, they just like...
They just knew.
Shit. Rick, I told you we should not have let her go to the camp.
I know.
I also like the idea of, like, they were, like, worried it was their fault.
I know.
What did you say when they asked you that?
I said no. I was like, no. I just simply was like, no. Like, you know, the refrain of, like, this is just who I am.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know?
There's always innocent parent questions that, like, they're just trying to figure things out.
Yes. And,
you know, I think I've said this before. Something that I've unpacked as an adult is I was told as a kid, when I was made fun of about acting gay or girly, I was told, just because people are saying that you're gay doesn't mean that you are.
Hmm.
And that was supposed to make me feel better, and it did in a way. And of course, it was like a really well-intentioned thing, right?
Yeah.
But the opposite side of that is that it's saying, hopefully you're not.
Yes, yes.
And so that question, your parents, of course, only wanted to, you know, support and figure things out. But of course, it's like, what are we going to blame? Like, what conditioned you to be this way? When, of course, you'd be like, I understand the question, but it's like, I literally cannot help this.
I know. It took me a very long time. It took me a long time to finally realize, like, I think we all go through these stages of our parents. Like, it took me so long to come out to myself that I had to learn to give my parents a little bit of a grace period, at least to, like, come out to themselves that their child is gay, like come out that, like, have them come out to the fact that they're, like, the child of a gay parent, you know, or the child of a gay kid, you know, or parent. I'm a parent of a gay child.
I totally know what you mean. That's true. There is a coming out process for almost every person who is related or close to a queer person, of them coming out to the world of, like, I have this relationship to someone that I love so much that I didn't know that I had that connection to something that is classically controversial.
Yes.
When, like, we're trying to make it not so controversial, but it is.
But it is still. My mom has now become, like, the P flag of my relatives.
Oh, I love that so much. Are your relatives, like, cool about the gayness of it all?
You know, they're in the boat of, like, we know, but we won't ask. And we, like, know you have a partner, but, like, we're not going to be, like... I think it's different now, though, to be honest, that, like, I am on this show and they want to tell their friends and family members to watch. And it's just like, I'm just such a gay character on this show.
Hello. Like, it is so hard to not be proud of your family member who is playing a gay person on, like, one of the biggest TV shows, remounts with Hilary Duff.
So all it takes for relatives to understand is to have this Hollywood industrial complex around you.
If anybody is listening.
If anybody is listening.
It gets better if you book a network sitcom.
That's all you need.
Otherwise, you're fucked, girl. It's going to be hard.
Oh, my God.
You have to be noticed at the TJ Maxx not working there. Yeah. That is so... But actually, that is... Anyone listening that is false, you should be loved and
revered. Yes, you should be loved no matter what.
Regardless of your SAG status. Wow. That is so good, though. I love the answer of Raven being the soccer... camp counselor, coach. I feel like we talk camp and those types of environments are just, there's no choice.
Yeah, did you go to summer camp?
I absolutely did. And I just, talk about, like, trying to groom the adults around you. I had a counselor who, I might have told this story before, he really inappropriately told the group of, like, 11 or 12-year-olds that he was hooking up with another counselor, which, like, of course, that's fine. Like, okay, you're hooked, like, sure, but keep it G, man. He told us that he... I really feel bad for... I truly know neither of their names, so it's okay to tell this, but I feel bad for the woman that's a part of the story. He told us that he performed anal sex with her for the first time.
Oh my God.
And he really didn't like it. And I was like, A, you're telling a group of 11-year-olds you did anal. God. B, half of us are gay. This is a performing arts camp. So try not to give us a negative connotation with anal. And C, this poor adult woman, who all she did was hook up with a very cute counselor.
Yes.
And without knowing that he was going to tell his
what group of
his kids,
his
cabin that she was just railed in the ass for the first time. It just like, it doesn't feel okay. And I remember feeling very confused and complicated about it.
I mean, I'm like blown away by the fact that this camp counselor told you guys that.
I know. And it, like, you know what? It goes back to our theory about straight men in general. They are either saying two words powerfully or a lot of words really wrong.
Yep. And like, he said a lot of words really wrong. How old were they? With the college, probably?
I would assume. Yeah. Like, you know when you're a kid and you're like, everyone's 30. Like, yes. I would say college. Benefit of the doubt, freshman in college.
Okay, good. Or I don't know. I don't know if that is good. I don't know why I said good.
It's better than senior.
It's better than senior.
I'm going youngest college. Yeah, it's just...
It's so intense.
It is intense. And do you think in today's world of 2022, there are camp counselors talking about anal to their 11-year-olds?
100%.
Right? That's
there
thing.
Has like, to be.
We hope that things have changed, and I think they have for some people, but there are so many parts of this world that there have to be anal conversation with 11-year-olds that shouldn't be happening.
That shouldn't be happening. And they're mostly coming from the mouths of straight men.
Yeah. I mean, like as dark as this is to say, how many female mass shooters are there?
Not that many.
Like a couple?
No, I know. So... Figure it out, straight men.
I do think that for champion the good ones, there are many straight men in my life that I do know that would never think about doing a mass shooting. I'm kidding. Like, that's not the low bar, but like, they would never, like, would never have that conversation. Like, there are people that listen to this. One of the reviews of this podcast is like, I'm straight man and I still listen to this. Is that okay? We love the good ones. But unfortunately, you're the minority, babe. Like,
I know.
In fact,
you know what we need is the good ones to go wrangle the bad ones.
Wrangle the bad ones. And if you ever wanted to like put on an application that you're a minority, just say that you're a straight man, but you're good. That's a minority.
That would be a diversity hire that I would get behind.
That is very controversial, but like, I think straight but not bad is straight a diversity hire. Okay, Sire, what's the update with, I know season 2 is happening, right?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Where when does it happen?
We start shooting, we only just found this out, so like at the end of July is when I like will start. Like, I'm moving out to LA properly, like...
Can you believe that a year ago you were doing a self-tape in your in-laws' basement, and then now, a year later, you're about to shoot season 2?
No. Absolutely not.
Okay, I have another... You're living my dream, so I have to ask you, like, this is a masterclass. When you got your first paycheck that was, like, delicious, did you make any impulse purchases that felt like you wouldn't have done it before you booked the show?
I will say that I booked a vacation for my partner and I. Because for a very long time we just like didn't go on any, and I booked a little house in Joshua Tree, and like we spent a week there. That has been my impulse purchases, is just like going to national parks that I haven't ever gotten to go to.
I love that's actually very wholesome, but also like it's also. It's still a vacation, but you're like national parks. You're not like, I'm going to bankrupt this tiny island.
Exactly. I'm not doing that. And I will say the other thing that I probably spent money on is just like a lot of like Nike coordinated outfits. I'm wearing one right now. Like
I love your Nike coordinated.
I can't stop wearing that.
Look, name brand, babe.
Name brand, babe. Look at this.
Look at that. Also, give me flexibility. There's Nike on the shin.
Nike on
the shirt. What does your hat say?
Soccer dad.
Oh my god, I'm angry at how good that is. Wait, that's also so spot on for what made you gay.
I know. I just got it recently. But yeah, I've been my very first impulse purchase was like a vacation.
Yeah, I love that. I can't wait to let you know where I go on my first.
Yes, I want to know.
Like vacation. I will definitely do a follow up.
Please.
I do want to ask another podcast question.
I'm ready.
Tian Tran, if the world was ending and you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
This is a very good question, and I'm thinking of it just from purely like who I love, not who I think would be a good partner in the apocalypse, which sure. I think would be a different answer.
Yeah.
But Olivia Colman.
Brilliant. Wait, are you saying Olivia Colman's not going to be good?
No, I also think she would be good.
I think she would too. I think like
I think she would be amazing in an apocalypse situation.
Yeah, Olivia, do not worry, girl. We think you would like do great on Survivor. I think that Olivia Colman is a great answer, and you'd be surprised. I haven't gotten as many Olivia Colmans on.
Are you
this,
serious?
I'm serious.
I think she's truly the best I think she's the best character actress, one of the best working right now, like hands down. She does everything. Like I think. I blew through Heartstopper.
I was just going to ask you about
that. Did you watch it?
100%.
You know that, you know how sometimes there are scenes, I don't know if you experience, but there will be little moments as now like a grown ass queer mm-hmm. that I'm like, that I am reminded why, like reminded how gay I am.
Oh yeah.
And it's Heartstopper. Absolutely. I was just like, so that show made me like, I'm so thankful to be queer. Like,
I know.
It made me so. That scene where. Okay, spoiler alert, sorry. But that scene where they're at the birthday party and Nick sees the lesbians kissing and, like, he sees the possibility of queer. Like, that.
I got chills. I got chills.
Eric, I still. Like, if I see that scene again, I will cry.
And that's why we've also talked about Fire Island too, because it's like there's such the like chosen family of it all.
Oh my
there's
God.
Such a kindred bond. There's a reason why you can come in the Zoom room for That's a Gay Ass Podcast, and immediately we can just be like here.
Yes.
Like I told my parents, who like all of their children are fully grown, but I was like, I think any parent, and I've said this many times, any parent should watch Heartstopper.
I completely
because I think
agree.
It shows a really empathetic environment around the very scary thing about coming out.
Yeah. I also, oh my God, that's so true. I completely agree with you that like any parent should watch this because it really models the empathy that should come with someone who's coming out in your life that you love. And also I just loved Nick as a character not being angry about his like, or like not being upset yes. or mean, you know, like there's always that. There was no like internalized homophobia that he put outwardly that I felt was very refreshing because I feel like that is such a storyline that people always want to go back on is like the other dude that was terrible to Charlie, the mm-hmm. other ex-boyfriend like
right.
that. I feel like
oh,
sometimes
God.
That character is the main character and not to have him be the main character. It was just.
You're right. Because also when you're in the rugby world surrounded by straight guys and those
yeah.
are your friends that you're trying to be cool with, he went the opposite way and said,
I loved it.
I'm going to honor what I'm actually feeling good about inside and break away from the talks, the bad men, the bad men.
The bad men. Which I feel like doesn't happen all the time in shows like that. And I loved seeing that.
That's very well said. Because I don't want to watch the show, The Toxic
no,
X.
I don't.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. I don't want to see that.
No, I don't want to see that.
I don't want to see that.
Do you, as you move forward with season two, I want you to manifest right now. What happens in like the dream of your life, like either personally and professionally or both?
Oh my gosh.
I love this question of like, you can write this story yourself.
I know it's like, so okay.
And also there's no wrong answer. It's like, just, you can stream of consciousness.
I would love for this show to go on for several seasons. Like I love working with my cast. I think it's like a very rare, special thing to be a part of a cast where I genuinely enjoy and am excited to see everyone. Like it's amazing. And I would love, I think for me, work-wise, I do stand up, but I haven't been able to in the last couple years just because mm-hmm. of the pandemic and honestly being like feeling like I'm starting from scratch again just because I haven't been out and doing the stages mm-hmm. as much as I used to. So I would love to like write a half hour and get that growing to an hour. And I guess the big, big goal for me is to get to make things with like the people that I love. Like comedians that I admire and like my partner and I wrote something together that I would love to like get made. So
oh my God, that's so exciting.
That
yes.
would be like the big manifesting dream is to like get to work with the people that I like really admire and adore from a creative standpoint.
That is so well said. And I'm fluffing that aura. I'm putting that into existence. I am truly building that manifestation
Thank
up because
you.
It should and will come true.
I hope so. I really hope so.
I think that's great. And also it kind of doubles down on the magic of the queerness of it all, of like yes. you and your partner working on something together. And like, I'm sure a lot of the people that you love around you also have a lot of,
I only want to work with queer people.
Like, hello. And that's why I, it's like, I'm a broken record about Fire Island too, of just like, there's just like so many queer people. And like the storylines also being like, we're not just following the hot gays because they're hot gays. We're actually mm-hmm. trying to like grapple with it. We maybe like Bowen Yang like doesn't feel like he's a part of that. And like, what is that?
I know.
Feeling like the feeling of ostracized,
alienated from the group.
The alienation of it all is just yeah. like there's, and that's again, the conflicting feelings of pride too. Of like, I want to celebrate, but why do I have to spend so much money and why? Like, and then like, but then also these fucking baseball players are now going to say that it's like it all, there's just so much, but there's, that's why there is such a powerful connection between us.
I know. You were so right to say, like, I really do, like, that's why when you reached out to me, I was like, absolutely. Like, I would love to do this podcast because there is such a, there is like an almost like undeniable, like familial bond in just having this common, like, common ground of queerness that it just
100%.
It's really just the best. And I always, like, truly, when you reached out, I was like, abso-fucking-lutely. I know it took me a couple weeks, but then when I finally did, I was like, yes, please.
The second that you said yes, I knew it was going to be a dream episode, and you have proven that has come true.
Oh my God, stop. Because of you. This was such a joy. Oh my God, no,
because of you. Listen, before we say goodbye, I have my final question I did not prep you on.
Oh, okay, yes, I'm ready.
The question is, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film?
It's Eddie. It is honestly one of my favorite films growing up.
Yay!
She is a New York Knicks basketball coach? Yeah. It's honestly one of my favorite movies.
You are
as a kid.
Sports girl.
I am a sports girl. I used to, you know, there was a Wegmans where I grew up, which is like a grocery store chain in the East Coast. And they had a video section, and I rented Eddie multiple times because I really love the underdog story of like female coach takes a group of men and like turns the team around.
Your parents should have been like, oh, did Eddie make you gay? is it because we rented that movie?
Honestly, Raven and Eddie, those two movies made me gay.
I love how also confident you were with your answer. A lot of people waffle, like, I guess I should say this. You knew immediately.
No. Eddie, I rented Eddie all the time. I even remember the one scene. Now I'm just nerding out, but like one of her players refuses to take a charge and keeps like moving his feet. And so she is like, I'll show you how to do it. And she takes a charge from like a 6'4" huge basketball player and just gets absolutely decked on the ground. And that's when she like earns the respect of the team. It's just, I love it.
Eddie
I love
is
Eddie.
A gay ass movie.
It's a gay ass movie. It's a great movie. I think Lisa and no. I can't remember who else is in the rest of that cast, but I think it's an amazing cast.
Yeah. I think, too, it is proving to me more and more that Whoopi, whether she wanted to or not, made so many people gay. I mean, because for me, it was Sister Act 2, which is a very, very gay thing. But Eddie, too, it's like she felt it within to choose these roles, to say yes to these projects that just, like, really queered out a lot of people.
So queer.
Well, listen, I'm so grateful to this podcast. Where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Hank Tina on Instagram.
And we are going to be so excited for season 2 to come out. Break a leg with filming. And when you're out in LA, hopefully I'll see you here.
Yes, I would love that. Also, thank you so much for being a true joy. This was so much fun. Thank you.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.